I have vivid memories of stinging sand against my skin, as if dozens of needles were piercing me. I grew up playing first baseball and then softball as a kid in New Mexico. And when the season started every spring, there was always several weeks when the wind would just rip through the desert Southwest. Since much of the state is comprised of large swaths of sand with very little vegetation to hold it down, sand and dust would be carried across the landscape, pieces of the state moving from one place to another. The first indication of any breeze, and I would instinctively turn my back to the wind and squeeze my eyes shut and wait for the sting of the sand on my skin, as if dozens of needles were piercing me. Once I got to high school, I started to carry a bottle of contact solution in case I needed to run into the dugout for a quick rinse because sand had gotten in between my contact and my eyeball. Not pleasant. On days that it got particularly bad, when the wind didn't stop coming or threatened to even blow me away with the sand, I would pray for rain. I don't often pray for weather, but I would pray on those days for rain. And I would wish and I would hope for the kiss of water falling from the sky, water that would quench the dry landscape and pin the sand down for at least a little while. Water that would nourish the plants and make them grow, allowing them to hold more of that sand in place instead of blowing around. Rain that would even maybe cancel practice or a game, relieving me from the torture of the stinging sand. It didn't happen very often. Not in a city or a state that has 300 plus days of sunshine a year. But that didn't stop me from hoping. Much like I imagine the Israelites at the time the prophet Isaiah was writing to them in today's text. By the time that we get to the 55th chapter of Isaiah, the Israelites have been exiled to Babylon for what was likely 70 years. 70 years subjected to unfair rule, 70 years of torture and forced to live as another people, 70 years in a foreign land, never knowing if or when they would return. 70 years of one thing after another. One more stinging needle to pierce their skin after another, wondering when it would end. They hoped and they prayed for the exile to end. And then God seemingly answered their prayers. Babylon fell to Persia, and Persia's king Cyrus said to them, "Go home." But the promise of home isn't as amazing as they would have hoped. For it's as if the wind has whipped up once again, bringing the dry sand with it to torture them. The Israelites return home to find their city still in ruins, completely destroyed by the Babylonians so many years ago, never rebuilt. The social structures that were in place when they left don't exist anymore. And there are struggles between them as to who will get the choice land when they return. Even though they were home again, many were left wondering if they could even grow food on the land they had, or if they would be able to afford the food and the provisions that they needed. It would have been easy to feel the wind pick up again and simply turn their back to the world, preparing themselves once again for the sting of the sand. Instead, I'm sure they stood in the dry, barren land they called home and prayed for rain, or something, or anything that would help them. The landscape here in Northern Virginia is anything but dry and barren, yet it sometimes can feel that way. Every time we turn on the news to yet another murder, yet another violent crime, if it can feel as if the winds of the world have whipped up around us, carrying with them grains of sand that pelt our skin. We pick up the paper to find yet another politician or public figure has sexually harassed or assaulted someone. Or we feel our phone vibrate and find that there is another alert about another mass shooting or terrorist attack. Or there are tensions at work and home is not quite the refuge it once was. Or we wonder how to make our meager paycheck stretch another couple weeks until payday, constantly making choices about what to buy and which bills to pay, worrying if we will have enough. Even if everything else is fine, the constant need to be on the go in this area makes us weary. We wish, we hope, for some relief from the sand and the wind, just as the Israelites must have wished for relief too. And then they get these words from Isaiah. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you that have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. For people who wondered from where their next meal might come, maybe these are words of comfort. Welcome words. God promises something more than just the struggle they have endured. God invites people to come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You who have no money, come, buy and eat, buy without money and without price. It's great news. And yet, to my American ear, an ear attuned to sales pitches and still hearing the howl of the wind at my back, and the little phrase, there is no such thing as a free lunch, I'm wary of even this good news. It sounds too good to be true. But Isaiah continues. He says, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. This is where I begin to believe God's promises again. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, rain and snow don't come very often in New Mexico, and they likely didn't in Judah either. The desert is a parched place. Even if the clouds float by, they don't easily give up the moisture that they contain within them. And yet, the rain still comes. Snow still comes. Yes, it does snow in New Mexico. It may not be very much or last for very long, but it does come, and it waters the landscape. It pins the sand down and makes the plants to grow. It exists just long enough so that we know it is real. For those of us who intimately know the barren landscape of our lives, Christmas can be a difficult holiday. We cannot pretend the twinkling lights or the soft glow of a Christmas tree will banish the shadows of our world away forever. And yet God promises the word will come just as the rain and the snow come. It may not be the long rain we hope for, but it will come to wet the ground and accomplish what it needs to do. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, God says, so shall my word be. My word that goes out from my mouth, it shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. The word will come so we know we are not alone, so that we know that God is with us, even in the driest parts of our lives, the most barren parts of our lives. God is there. The word will come to wet the sand, to let us know that there is life to be had, even in the midst of death. The word will come to change the way that we see the world, just as a rainstorm changes the New Mexican landscape. The word will come. In fact, the word is already here.